Welcome to the Insane Asylum.
All right, here we go. Episode 31. Welcome to the Insane Asylum. This is the Night of the Living Dreads podcast, a podcast that covers all and anything horror. I am Otis B. Dreads. Here, riding shotgun, Mrs. Dreads. How are you, Mrs. Dreads?
I'm good.
How are you?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that? You don't sound very good. You don't sound very excited to be here at all. And after the movie-going experience that we had, which I'm a little harsher than you are about this, maybe that's why. I don't know. But we'll get into that because this is movie review time here in the Insane Asylum. But first, we're going to give out some horror love. Gorehounds of Horror, Facebook. Check them out. Best damn horror group on Facebook. Misfit Horror Fiend Club, another horror dedicated Facebook group. Check them out. After Dark, as I've always mentioned, they do a lot of watch parties. So, you know, and they do watch parties of, you know, movies I haven't heard of. I just don't really have the time, you know, a lot of time to sit down and engage in it. But seems pretty cool. Get a bunch of people together watching a movie on Facebook. So, and, of course, last, but definitely not least, Cannabis Arcade. Now, that is not, as you probably figured out, that is not a horror-related group. Did you figure that out, Mrs. Dreads?
Yeah, I had an idea.
Yeah, yeah, you had a clue. I mean, something sparked up there in the old noggin.
All right. Well, I mean, with some of the memes and stuff that are posted in there sometimes.
It's a great place. It's a great group to go and get baked and get a few laughs because there's some funny shit going on over there at Cannabis Arcade. Get Cannabis with a K. And I think that sums up all the love we're giving out. You know, I came across an article concerning the very first horror film that is said to be made. Can you guess what year?
No.
No, you can't.
Because I have no clue what year.
1890 fucking six. The first horror movie. Who would have thunk that? I mean, there was obviously no sound. I mean, they barely had probably the technology to take and even, you know, make films. And this is a guy, it's a French illusionist, Georges I'm not even going to try. We'll just call him George from now on. French illusionist and film director is widely credited as pioneer of the earliest known technical and narrative developments in the formation of cinema. So he pretty much created what we now have as movies. So I thought this would be perfect. The first horror movie, someone who's known as a pioneer of all cinema right now on a show where we're doing a movie reviews. Yeah. Isn't that ingenious?
That's fantastic.
All right. He's well known, George, that is, well known for his use of special effects, which created... I'm not even going to try this one, but it translates to The House of the Devil, the 1896 French short silent film, which is technically considered to be the first horror film ever, ever created. Do you believe this?
I have no choice but
it is absolutely unbelievable. It only runs for 3 minutes. It's like 3 minutes and 26 seconds. And, of course, I'm going to have this link to this article if you want to read it yourself, because I'm not going through the whole thing. And I will put the link to the video also in the description at the podcast I'm over at nightofthelivingdreads.com. Running for 3 minutes, the film was also considered highly ambitious for its time and pioneered longer format films. Interestingly, because the plot includes the transformation of a human being into a bat, many historians have also considered the short film to be the very first vampire film in history. So not only the first horror film, but the first horror film was actually a vampire film.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Dracula?
Eh.
What?
Yeah, I mean.
What do you mean, eh?
He's not my favorite.
Okay, well, let's talk Universal Monsters. Because the first film review where comes from Universal Studios, a Universal star, which everyone will know. Well, Universal Monsters, you know, Wolfman, Dracula, Frankenstein, you know.
Probably Frankenstein.
Really? You're a Frankenstein fan?
Yeah.
Well, right behind you, I got old Bela Lugosi back there as Dracula. Yeah, right behind you here in the insane asylum.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, I can't believe your response to, you know, when I asked about Dracula. I was
He's
always,
not my favorite.
I was always Dracula as a kid, you know, for Halloween for like years. I wouldn't even change. It's in my soul is what I'm saying.
What's that supposed to do with?
It's in my soul. And this was the first, you know, vampire film in history. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Speaking of, you know, Dracula and Frankenstein, we got a Frankenstein chick over here. We watched, we're going to do 3 movie reviews, okay? We're going to do 2, and then we're going to take a little break, and we're going to do the finale. We went and saw Child's Play today. And you're a little bit more forgiving on that. I'm not going to give away too much, but I am going to tell you, there are going to be some spoilers, because we're going to talk about this, and we may talk about some things that you may or may not spoil. Who knows? But I'm just going to throw that out there just in case it does. And but we're going to talk about one movie from 1932, the Universal Studios production, The Old Dark House, which stars your buddy, Boris Karloff. And then we're going to talk, we're going to go jump ahead a little bit in time to 1981, Toby Hooper's little underrated masterpiece, The Funhouse, which is probably going to get the best review out of all of these. But let's start with The Old Dark House, which actually you, I think, kind of brought that up and started watching it. Is that right? Yeah. And I dig some of these older, you know, movies.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that sometimes, you know, when you get into, you know, that era, the 30s, the 40s, sometimes I'm so distracted by the acting a lot of times, because it seems like they're just reading a script and being over dramatic.
Right.
Maybe it's just me, but it just seems that way. And I know it's just for the time and blah, 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 but The Old Dark House, again, 1932, directed by James Whale, starring Boris Karloff, Melvin Douglas, Charles Laughton, Gloria Stewart, and Raymond Massey. You know, the budget was $250,000 in 1932. You did a little bit of math and a little bit of looking up when I brought this up to you earlier. What's that come out to today? A budget of $250,000 in 1932 would be what today?
It's like $4.5 million.
$4.5 million. Imagine if you had that budget to make a movie now. And a lot of these, you know, I guess big studios and whatnot, you know, they have huge budgets. That's approximately, I think, the budget that John Carpenter had. No, he had even less than that, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he had way less than that. But anyway, I'm gonna go through a little brief, you know. Well, what the plot's mainly about. You got Philip Waverton, played by Raymond Massey, and his wife Margaret, who is Gloria Stewart, and their friend Roger Penderel. Yeah. He was actually kind of comical to me.
Yeah.
That was like the third wheel there. He was a little bit comical. The loss while driving in a heavy storm, going to whatever destination, they somewhat get stuck a couple times. And, of course, you know, at 1932, they didn't have windows in their fucking cars. They're getting blasted with rain. This is a horrible drive. They find a house. And there's some lights on, so they're all like, I mean, 1932, I guess you could do that. You can just run up to an old abandoned house, start beating on it. So they finally get let in by a guy by the name of Morgan. Now, Morgan is the character played by Boris Karloff, who is a mute with apparently an alcohol problem because he drinks heavily and then gets violent and gets very physical, which does happen later on. To Philip's wife, Margaret. And so on and so forth. Some other characters come into the picture, that being Sir William Porterhouse, which comes in. They also, I guess, you know, they were lost and whatnot. So now we have almost what made me feel like the fucking movie Clue.
Yeah,
because now you have all these different kind of characters, which was interesting, I thought, which was pretty cool. And, you know, so you got different personalities clashing. There was almost a wedding there after meeting his woman for, you know,
a night,
not even. Two characters start talking about, yes, we are getting married. But the dialogue and how they spoke back then was it's funny to me. So it goes on, and I always fade out towards, you know, the end. What do you wanna add to this, Jody?
Well, he does end up proposing to her at the end.
He does, yeah.
And then they have, what was his name? Who was a brother that was locked upstairs.
Oh, yes, I forgot about him. Sal.
Yeah, Sal, he was going to set the house on fire if he got loose.
Right.
Did try to set the house on fire. I mean, I guess back in that period of time that it would be considered a horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, it had elements.
There's no deaths.
You know, the dark, stormy nights. You had a horror icon like Boris, you know, who has been, you know, in the horror genre for, you know, a little bit now.
I think, Cyrus and Morgan were the only two?
Cyrus was the older brother, right?
Yeah, he was the crazy one.
The crazy one, okay. Yes, there's a crazy brother. So you get these, you know, they call
or
it
Sal,
an
or whatever
eccentric
his name
Sal.
Was.
Yeah,
yeah, Saul.
Saul. Seesaw.
But him and Morgan were the only two that died in the end, weren't they?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't even remember if Morgan did.
Yeah, I don't either. But I thought, all in all, it was a pretty good movie.
For 1932.
For 1932, yeah, and a budget that today, like we said, would have been, you know, over $4 million to make this movie. That's a lot of friggin' money for, you know, 1932.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm going to say, you know, if you're a fan of the Universal Studios, you know, horror collection, we own Frankenstein, and we got a DVD case over there. It's got about 50, you know, different movies.
It's probably on there.
It probably is on there. So you know, we're a fan of that particular, you know, years. In horror, but I'm gonna give it. Actually, I'll let you go first, ladies.
You always
first.
Let me go first,
ladies first.
I'd probably give it maybe a B minus.
A B minus. Why the minus?
Just because I don't know. Like you said, there was a lot of overacting.
Well, there is, but again, I think that's the style of acting at that time. If you take that into consideration, you know. I'm not getting.
Just what I agree to.
Yeah, just all right. No debating Mrs. Dredd's on her grade. I'm giving it a B+. B+. I think because I can take that into consideration. But it is. It's kind of hard to follow sometimes.
Yeah.
And it does make you think, hey, tone it down there, you know, with the old acting. You know, don't be so, you know, dramatic. It seemed a little useless.
Yeah.
So there you go. But all in all, I think it's one that any horror fan should probably watch.
Yeah, if they like classical horror.
Yeah, if you like the classic, the Universal Studios, and that type, this is probably right up your alley. Now we're going to skip ahead to a Tobe Hooper unsung classic. This is about 7 years, I believe it was, after Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I believe that came out in, what, 74?
I think so.
And this one, on the other hand, came out in 81. Now this budget, well, no, the box office, this movie brought in $7.8 million. Again, directed by Tobe Hooper, starring Elizabeth Berridge, Cooper Huckabee, Largo Woodruff, Miles Chapin, Kevin Conway, Sylvia Miles, William Finley. Now this plot, it starts out as a masked intruder attacks. Oh, this is going right through, man. I don't need to read all that. So basically we have I guess he's, you know, a teenager, what, 17, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I don't think they really, really tell. But basically, she's going out first date with, you know, a friend of hers, I guess, set them two up is kind of what it seemed like. And his name is Buzz. And of course, you know, you got, you know, he's a smoker. He almost reminds me a little bit of would have been from Dazed and Confused, but not with, you know,
not the creepy 30-year-old hitting on 17-year-olds.
Right, not that creepy. But, you know, he's got the muscle car and everything, and you know, now you know, he's going out, and they're going to this carnival, okay, and comes around, you know, the traveling circus, or the traveling carnival, I should say, not circus. And apparently in another city or another town, there were two girls murdered at this particular carnival. So the parents, of course, of this girl, Amy, who is pretty much the lead heroine in this. Her father and her mother pretty much are like, come on, please, don't go to this carnival. We just fear for your safety, blah, blah, blah. She is going anyway, even though she does try to get out of it. She does tell Buzz, I don't know, my dad, you know. So she kind of reluctantly, but I think she wanted to go. What do you think? She wanted to go.
I think so.
Yeah. She was intrigued. Her younger brother is like the horror fanatic of the family. In the opening scene, she's getting in the shower and you know, getting all washed up, and all you see is this like POV shot for like, you know, the first couple minutes, and you see a hand grab a mask, and you know, now you got this Halloween type, you know, POV shot with the mask on, and see him coming in. It's very reminiscent of Psycho. And it's just a plastic knife, and her little brother, you know, playing jokes on her, blah, blah, blah. So he's a horror fanatic. And they end up, of course, Amy, Buzz, and the other two, Liz and Richie, that's their names. They all end up going to this carnival. It's actually considered to be like one of these little sleazy carnivals, and it does turn out that way.
Yeah.
We're talking about drunk fortune tellers giving hand jobs is basically where this movie goes, which maybe that's why I like it.
$400.
For $100. Anyway, so they're going through this carnival and they're doing all this and blah blah blah, and next thing you know, they come across a funhouse, and old Richie gets him an idea. What was that idea, Jody?
That they stand the night in the funhouse.
They spend the night in the funhouse.
That's where the two girls from the other county got killed.
Yeah. So they want to test fate a little bit, I guess, or just stay the night in a creepy place. Hey, we like to do that, as you wear your Hillview Manor shirt. We like to do that, and they do too. So, they decide they're going to go, and after the carnival closes, and they're going to sneak in, they're going to stay in, they're going to ride the ride, but then they hop off at some point and just hide out in there. And this is when things get a little weird, and they end up coming across a murderer who was actually... Well, dressed up as your buddy, Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And he was all, he's, you know, he's a little fucked up under that mask.
He's fucked up, period.
He's fucked up, period. He don't talk. His relationship with one of the other guys, I don't know exactly, you know, if it was just a...
I think it's his dad.
What was it? I was wondering that. Was it his dad? Was it just, you know, somebody they called themselves, you know, because he made references, you know, you don't hurt one of the, you know, the family... I didn't know if that
meant...
No, I
think he's his dad.
Oh, okay. And they kind of had a relationship like we saw with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I thought, where Leatherface, even though he's just huge and, you know, wields a chainsaw and, you know, he's almost, you know, very tameable by, you know, I guess it would be the father.
I thought it was his brother. His brother.
Maybe it is. But... You know, and I kind of got that vibe off of this, too. Well, being Toby Hooper, you know, no wonder. You know, I can see why that would have came out. But anyway, they come across a murder after Frankenstein wanted a little more for his $100. That was not going to happen. So he strangles her. And this is actually observed by the other four that are trying to hide out, because I guess they heard a noise in the middle of their little love making. They hear a noise and they go and investigate, and that's when they're able to look through these, you know, planks in the floor and see this room underneath the funhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes on from there, and Amy last,
mm-hmm.
But I think she is the only one.
She is the only one.
She is the only one that lasts the
night.
Or
her brother.
Yeah, her brother, he ends up getting, you know, kind of nabbed by one of the other employees there at the carnival. And
I don't know if he was genuinely nice or just creepy.
Yeah, right. And the parents, Amy and, you know, her brother's, you know, mom and dad, they pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
She's up in part of the funhouse trying to get their attention. No, it's not going
to
happen.
Trying to scream at them.
Yeah, couldn't hear. You know, the little boy is just terrified looking up at this, you know, at this funhouse. He is just terrified.
Right.
And but you brought up a good point. What was the point of the brother?
I don't know.
You brought that up earlier. Why don't you expand on that?
Yeah, I just don't understand his plot in the story.
Yeah.
There's no really storyline for him.
There really is?
Because you don't see them interact at all in the park. He knows she's there, but she don't know he's there.
Right.
And then at the end when he comes to, when his parents pick him up from being nabbed,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't talk.
No.
So her parents don't even know she's in there.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if it's the point of leading up to her parents actually being at the park and
it seems
her
like
trying to get their attention,
right.
But that's just a lot of mess in between that doesn't need to be there.
I agree, yeah.
At least if you're going to have him in there, have a purpose for him to be in there.
Exactly. And when I didn't even pay attention to that until you brought it up, and I was like, yeah, wait a minute, what does this little this little kid. What is his purpose in this movie at this point? Oh, okay, he sneaks out. He goes to the fun house. He has a good time. He tries to, you know, hang around after dark. But yeah, he doesn't run into his sister Amy.
Mm-mm.
But which, you know, if you're gonna put him in there and make it a point to waste time in the movie, not that I'm shitting on Toby Hooper, this guy's a genius, but it just seems to me if you're gonna take the time to build up, you know, showing this little boy sneaking out of his house, going to this, you know, this carnival, and at least have him maybe get himself into some kind of trouble,
mm-hmm.
to where the sister sees it, and then you know, maybe it changes the plot a little bit. You know, not really, but I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. But I thought overall this was a good movie.
It was good for the
80s. I liked it. Yeah, we had a lot of cheesy movies in the 80s. horror movies.
We have, movies,
yes,
lately.
We have. But this one, yeah, maybe it had kind of its cheesy parts. But all in all, I think it was pretty good. What are you grading this one?
I say a C.
Wow, you went lower than
because
the
was
old
a lot
Dark
of,
House.
Because there's a lot of other movies in the 80s, horror-wise, that are a lot better.
Well, very true. But we're not comparing.
Right, but I'm just saying that if I have to...
Okay. Given the...
There could have been more gore. Could have been...
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go, actually, with a... probably the same grade I gave The Old Dark House, a B+. I thought it was good. This is actually probably one that I would buy. It is so typical 80s, okay? There wasn't, a whole lot of, gore. I think it had its moments, but not a lot. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm thinking about it, I can't think of a whole lot of gore scenes. But it was your typical 80s, a horror movie. I thought it was pretty cool. I like the weird carnival, the weird traveling carnival.
Yeah, I like that aspect of it.
You know, I like just the weird characters in this carnival, running a fun house that is, racking up a body count as they go from town to town. That's a cool plot to me. As I mentioned earlier, I think that would be one that'd be right up old Rob Zombie's alley, because, I think it said that, his parents worked in a traveling carnival. He was around, him and his brother were around that. So I think
Think about it, got the 80s on my mind. In 31, that...
Right.
They were a traveling
carnival, right.
Right.
So he kind of maybe did a little something like that.
They weren't the...
No.
Victims in this one.
So, you gave the Old Dark House a B-.
Mm-hmm.
Gave this one, The Fun House, a C+.
Yeah.
I gave them both a B+, although I don't know how I'm going to rate the next one we're going to talk about after this break. And I was kind of... I didn't know what I wanted to use for a little bit of a break. And I know, podcasts, what are you taking breaks for? It's recorded, blah, blah, blah. Well, because sometimes as I'm going, I take that break. And I, do a little bit of editing, get my things together. And that's why.
He smokes pot and drinks coffee.
Yeah, well, I do that too.
That's what he does during the break.
So... Yeah, that is true. But I had no idea what I was, going to put in for this break. So I decided, okay, we're getting ready to do a review, our own opinions on the new Child's Play, which we went and saw this afternoon. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to check out and see what other people have said. and done reviews and how they reviewed it and see if their ideas are similar to mine. The one we're going to play for you in a break is about 6 minutes, but I think it's pretty dead on, really, with how I was already thinking in most aspects. So I'm going to let you hear that. And then again, there's, you know, we're going to talk probably a little in depth about the movie. So yeah, spoiler alert. Maybe what we talk about mention are things that have already been mentioned and already common knowledge, so far. So, and I also have some, comments that I want to read. Dog. Oh man. Some comments I want to, read. Over there from Gorehounds of Horror, I made a little post talking about this podcast and mentioning the Child's Play movie. Got some interesting feedback. It goes from both sides. It right. really does. It seesaws back and forth. Bad, good, bad, good. Oh, this is the only good part of this, you know, whatever. So I'm going to mention a few of those. So kick back and enjoy this little... Child's Play movie review that I found, and then we're going to give our own movie review. So, buckle up, buttercups.
Child's Play is the latest horror film to get a remake, even though the original franchise, created by Don Mancini, is still going strong with Blu-ray releases and an upcoming TV show. We have a new 2019 version of this story with an edgy kid who curses a lot, and his mom who gets him a buddy doll. And this buddy doll is smart, not in the way he was in the original film where he was inhabited by the ghost of a murderer, but as an electronic device, he can interact with your home, your TV, all electronic appliances inside your house. And he's designed to be a kid's best friend. But of course, as you might expect, this one has some serious issues. Let me get this out of the way really quickly. I by no means am like a Chucky purist or anything. If you've seen my review of the original film, you know that I think it's a fun movie. I don't consider it like some horror classic. The character of Chucky is iconic, especially for that era, but it's an evil doll that kills people. I mean, it's not like The Shining or Halloween or Evil Dead 2 or anything. It's by no means a classic, and yet it is a very fun and enduring horror film. And it was a little strange to me that they were doing a remake because the actual franchise with Don Mancini behind it is still going fairly strong. I actually liked The Curse of Chucky. But throwing all that aside and judging this film purely on its merits, it's enjoyable. It feels like a throwback. It has a very fun vibe to it. There's a lot of very gory deaths, which I didn't anticipate. It makes good use of the R rating, and it knows what it is. It's very lighthearted, it's very tongue-in-cheek, and it understands how silly it is. And it by no means is trying to be a serious film, which is really refreshing, because I was afraid it was going to be a dark and gritty reboot of Chucky. Gratefully, they understand that a doll killing people is funny. And they find ways to make it enjoyable. The performances, for the most part, are very good. The young actor, Gabriel Bateman, has a lot on his shoulders, and he delivers. Aubrey Plaza is great as his mother. I thought that their relationship was the best in the film in regards to characterization. It was fairly well fleshed out, even though it was kind of conventional. She has a boyfriend. Kid doesn't like the boyfriend, creates tension. There wasn't anything new there, but I bought them as a mother and son relationship. Brian Tyree Henry plays a detective who's often at his mother's house, who lives right next to the main family, and so he got a lot of good jokes in the movie, and I thought the dynamic between him and his mother as well was one of the better parts of the movie. Mark Hamill as the voice of Chucky, excellent, which is really surprising because Brad Dourif is so synonymous with this character, but he is really good. When it comes to voice work, it's pretty hard to get better than Mark Hamill. I mean, he's already done so many iconic characters, and he once again delivers as Chucky. But still, the film felt very disposable to me, and a lot of this is because characterization is very weak all around. There's some neighborhood kids, and they all basically are a cliche. There's sort of the weird one, there's the bully, and they all sort of fit into those perfect cliches that you expect out of the neighborhood kids. and you never really understand anything about them. So when people start inevitably dying, they just feel like kill scenes. There's no investment involved, and so it's just like watch Chucky kill people, which can be fun, and is fun. There's some good use of build-up and tension, but not quite enough of that. Because even though this movie is really silly, and it knows it, in the original Child's Play, they did a better job of setting up Chucky as a character, and that's probably because an actual person is haunting Chucky in the original, whereas here, he's an electronic device that's malfunctioning, and so there's not really a soul to the movie, it's just watchably entertaining. And so I guess if you were afraid this movie was going to be a disaster, that's probably a relief for you to hear. The look of Chucky, I really don't like it. I think he looks terrible. He reminds me of that old show Terra Hawks, those marionette puppets that were so fucking terrifying, which is probably the type of unsettling reaction they were hoping for. But I just found myself laughing a lot at his expressions, and I am positive they're going to become a bunch of GIFs and memes in the future. Like, there's one scene in particular where the kid sits down and asks Chucky to make as many weird, creepy faces as he can, and you just watch Chucky's face contort for like 30 seconds. And I understand that that scene is supposed to be funny, but having it so early on in the movie made me not be able to unsee that throughout the rest of it. And I just don't understand why this is happening so much in these franchise films when you have an iconic character that everybody likes and knows. The Sonic the Hedgehog trailer had him looking like a fucking blue squash. And now this. It's like no one was complaining about the look of Chucky. He's looked the same since the 80s. Everyone likes that. Why do you have to change it? I get the idea of differentiating yourself from the original. I just don't like the way he looks. Plain and simple. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and it's not much of a criticism. I just don't like the way it looks. Still, this was better than I thought it was going to be. The performances are, for the most part, strong, and it has a fun 80s vibe that recaptures that feeling. Still, that's, in a sense, a bit of an issue, because some of those fun 80s movies really were disposable. A lot of them. Like, you can watch them and feel nostalgic, and you can remember those better times, maybe. But then you kind of think more about them, and you realize that they were actually a little bit throwaway. And this movie feels like that. But to be honest, I was entertained for the most part in this film. I certainly didn't hate sitting in the theater. Mark Hamill is great as the voice of Chucky. And I feel like this isn't going to offend any Chucky purists. If you can get over the design, you'll probably enjoy yourself. I'll give Child's Play a B-.
I think that was a pretty accurate review. What would you What would you say?
I agree.
Yeah. Now, I think we're going to start with you, Mrs. Dreads, and your thoughts on the new Child's Play, because you kind of had a more forgiving. I mean, you didn't think it was all that bad. Maybe before, right. I'll give you a minute to think about that for a second, because over there, Gorehounds of Horror, you know, the best damn horror group on Facebook, I made a post, and it basically said, you ever watch a horror movie that is bad to the point of scrambling for the words to describe said piece of shit? Now maybe I was a little harsh there with the piece of shit. I'm not. Maybe I should retract that. Maybe that was too harsh. I'm not going to say it's a piece of shit. But went on to just post and let everyone know that we're going to be doing a podcast talking about it. And I thought some of the comments, you know, were fairly good. One comment, I don't know if I should throw these guys out there, but I will. Cody Phillips, he said his kid just went to see it with some friends. He decided to pass. Now, I don't know if that was maybe a predetermined decision that he wasn't going to go anyway. James Bracken said he heard it wasn't that bad. Just kind of, you know, same thing you're pretty much saying. He said, James also said, you know, maybe he'll just wait and check it out, you know, on DVD. P2? Muriel? He said he don't even think he'll watch it on DVD. His coworker went and told him he got up and left. he didn't even stay. Marie Coleman says, you have not seen Hunting Season, obviously. Worst thing I have ever seen, ever. Shoving rusty nails in my eyes for an hour would have been more beneficial. So apparently that's the, you know, Hunting Season is a hell of a lot worse than, you know, maybe what some feel Child's Play is. Dickie Green says it wasn't horrible. He says it wasn't geared towards us older folks. It was made for a younger generation, and I agree. I agree with that, because it all is, you know, very, you know, it's like smart houses, smart this, smart that, where everything can be controlled either by your voice or by your phone or something. So I get that. He said he went into it thinking just that and enjoyed it. So, which I've stated that I think with maybe a lot of these remakes, even stated on this podcast, that maybe we should go in. And I think we were talking about the Pet Sematary, the new one that came out, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
I did too.
That maybe you kind of have to go into it, you know, as this is its own entity. And maybe not compare it to this, to that. There were some things that were just too hard to ignore, that being his looks. but he said it's not our Chucky, that's for sure. That our Chucky meaning the original Chucky, right. What we all know and love or just know. A couple more here I want to get to. Chad Green, Chad Green. I just talked about a Green. Chad Gann, he said this is the only time that he's heard anything negative about it. Which, you know, I take Chad's, you know, opinion, you know, pretty to heart. He's one of the, you know, moderators over there at Gorehounds, and he has some pretty good taste. But, you know, he's heard nothing but good things about it. Okay, to each their own, I guess. Dave Swinkles, he says, I am grateful for the spoilers that I've heard before seeing it. Can't believe they have tossed the possession angle that made Chucky who he is. I mentioned this in the past week or so. And finally, Brandon Reinard. He said, the only saving grace is that Mark Hamill does the voice.
Right, because he does a good job.
Mark Hamill did, I think, an A-plus job. I think it worked well. He's a pretty established voice actor. This isn't, you know, his first gig. Let's get into it. You, Mrs. Dreads. What were some of the things you liked about this? What were some of the things you didn't like about it?
Well, last time when we talked about it, I talked about the fact that it a little disheartening that they didn't follow the same concept, because even by the trailer you could tell that it was going to be more technology-based than it was going to be.
Right.
But I have to say I was kind of pleasantly surprised that it wasn't as horrible as I anticipated it to be.
Right.
I mean,
it takes some getting used to.
There's a lot of funny points in the movie.
Oh, yeah, there is.
There are some good slasher scenes and stuff, but I think people are going in with the predisposition of that it's going to be just like the original Child's Play. And it's like we were discussing on the way back from the movie that there's only a couple things in the movie that actually
pertain,
go along to that storyline, which would be the name Chucky.
And they don't even use good guy anymore.
Right,
it's buddy,
buddy
doll.
And then the outfit that he wears, it's
similar.
Color-wise, right. it has Buddy on it instead of good guy.
Mm.
I mean, if you're looking to go in there and see a true remake, you're going to be disappointed,
right,
because it's not a true remake. But I don't think it's as bad as my worst half thinks it is.
Damn, worst half. Well, I don't think it was. Maybe, like, again, maybe I put it out there, called it, you know, said piece of shit. Maybe that was wrong. That was you know, again, a little too harsh. I understand. I tried to go into it. And here's the funny thing. The very first time you ever even see the doll, there was instantaneous laughter at the sight of this Chucky doll. It's hard for me to get over that, how fucking ridiculous this doll looks. And so I was already at a disadvantage. But then it kind of evened out a little bit, finding out Mark Hamill was doing the voice, and I heard, you know, some little bits here and there before, you know, we saw the movie. And I was like, okay, that kind of...
And the humor that entwines with the doll. I mean,
that was funny. Like the guy who did the review during the break, you know, like he said that there was that scene where, you know, Andy is trying to, you know, get Chucky, okay, who you can pretty much train.
Which he hadn't, yeah.
You know, to take and just scare the shit out of his mom's boyfriend. And, you know, so it was almost, and what he said in the review, like, it came too soon in the movie.
Right.
It almost gave me the impression that now I'm watching a horror comedy.
Right.
Versus just, you know, a horror movie, I guess. It was humorous. Yeah,
because you think about it, because even in the original Child's Play,
there was some humor.
That it wasn't a dark horror,
right?
That
it's, absolutely,
like it said, it's a comedic. It's a light horror movie. Mm-hmm. It's, you have to take it for what it is. I mean, once you do that, then
so with that being said, they hit the nail right on the head, you know, with that aspect of it, because they really, really fucked up with the way this doll looks.
And the acting was good. I mean,
the acting was good.
There really wasn't any actor in the movie that did a shitty part.
No, I can't think. Even the voice of Chucky. I mean, all actors.
Unlike in the review, how he was talking about the kids and stuff that were in there and stuff, they play a slight role in the movie, which, like when we were talking about Funhouse and the brother and stuff, these kids are in there and they have a reason to be in the movie.
Sure.
And
I mean, they were they were seen right from the get-go because, you know, the mother and the son were moving to a new neighborhood, and you know, the mom's trying to get, you know, her son to make some new friends. So he starts coming at ease. He's you know, just a little tight and tense because of the move. And so you knew right from the beginning that these kids were going to show up later on. They were going to be a part and be there with the main character, I guess, being one of the main characters, being Andy.
Right.
So, yeah, they did have a significant role, unlike the brother in the funhouse. But... you know, here's what got me. The acting was I think really, really well. I guess it wasn't a bad movie. Maybe I had some predetermined notions of how I thought it was going to be. But then you get to parts in the movie where, you know, Chucky, I get it because of the technology and everything, basically just pointing his finger, it glowing at the tip, like, you know, like fucking E.T. And, you know, just, and he, you know, people were dying because of that. Not like the original, where it's a possession, and you know, that's how Chucky comes to be. No, this one, it's a disgruntled Vietnamese, you know, fucking worker who gets slapped around by his boss and decides to put, you know, a really fucked up program and take off all of the restraints that this doll will have, like violence and things like that. So it's kind of like an evil program that he programs his chip, sticks it in there because he's being fired after he makes this one last doll. So that's his big fuck you, you know, because I'm back out on the streets, but there's going to be one evil little bastard of a buddy doll running around. That was okay, you know, because they had to somehow show how all this became that.
Right. Because, well, he killed himself after that.
Yeah, right. Jumped out of the boat. Yeah, jumped out.
But,
they didn't have suicide nets on that side of the building, I guess.
I don't even know what I was going to say.
But, yeah, they, so that's how he came about. You know, so now Chucky can just pretty much control everything just by, you know, pointing his little stubby finger.
No, because he's connected.
Right.
To all that stuff that he did that to, he was connected to.
Right. Because
it was all electrics by that company that he was made by.
If it was that brand of a TV, he could turn it on, turn it off. He could, you know, project things that he's recorded that's being said by other people, which comes out in the movie. But, you know, I guess, you know, I don't think I was, I don't know. This is just going to be a hard grade for me. So I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to have to think about this for a second.
Is that your way of telling me you want me to grade it first?
Yeah, of course. You graded all of them first. So,
I know.
See, it's not as easy as you would think.
I'd have to say I'd probably give it a B.
A B?
Yeah.
Okay.
A flat B.
Huh. You know what? I'm honestly going to have to follow suit. No, I'm going with B+.
Okay.
Because I think even though I'm not hip on the whole technology aspect, even though I get what, you know, what one of our comments that I read from Gorehounds of Horror stated. Yes, it was directed towards a new generation of those who maybe are just coming into light of Chucky. I don't know how that would be, but bad parenting, I'm thinking. but so I get that. You know, I'm not a fan of it. I didn't expect it to be a shot-for-shot remake of the, you know, duplicate of the original. But sticking with a lot of things that I thought were important to the story, that being the possession of the doll. But I think that, again, the acting was really well done. The humor involved was enough to make me not want to get up and leave.
Right.
There was a really good jump scare that got you, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but you had, you know, I thought you were jumping out of the chair. It was a pretty good one. There wasn't a whole lot of them. But then again, the original Chucky that I can remember, you know, Child's Play,
there
wasn't in there either. So it's not one of those types of movies. It did have some really cool gore scenes. It had some that I was even cringing, you know, like, ooh, do I want to watch that? You know, a table saw incident.
Yeah.
The table saw incident. I work with table saws in my line of work, and that made me absolutely cringe. So, you know, that was good. That's why I had to go with a B+. I think it was a decent movie, you know. It might even be one, you know, we go out and buy.
I'd own it on DVD.
Yeah, I think I would too. So that concludes another episode, which happens to be episode 32, stated in the beginning in the podcast, 31. That is not the case.
I thought it was 32, but I wasn't saying nothing because I thought you do the show. You
know episode it is. I needed the backup there. It is episode 32, and it was fun. I mean, we need to do just a show on movie reviews. Get some old movies, maybe some new ones. The new Annabelle. coming out here in just a few days. I think the 25th. Annabelle Comes Home. I'm a big fan of that one.
That one looks good.
It does look good.
The new It is going to be coming out soon.
The new It. Oh, my God. They showed the trailer for it.
I think my new biggest fear is being tackled by a naked old lady.
If you watch the trailer, if you don't understand where Mrs. Dredge is coming with that comment, watch the trailer for It Chapter 2, and you'll understand that was creepy as fuck. It really was. So I'm excited about that one, excited about the new Annabelle, which hopefully we get out to see, which I know we will before next week's podcast, so we'll talk a little bit about that, and I'll promise I won't do any spoilers on that one.
No, because I have a feeling that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, so
it's going to have quite a few jump scares.
I got a feeling it will, too. Most of the ones in the Conjuring series and along those lines do, and it looks just as creepy as any of the other ones that's followed, you know, in that family, the Conjuring family. All right, I'm getting the hell out of here. Thank you, Mrs. Dredge. And we will see you, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.